We're continuing chapter 27 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. They left the castle at noon the next day to find a weak silver sun shining down upon the castle grounds. The weather was milder than it had been all year, and by the time they arrived in Hogsmeade, all three of them had taken off their cloaks and thrown them over their shoulders. The food Sirius told them to bring was in Harry's bag. They'd sneaked a dozen chicken legs, a loaf of bread, and a flask of pumpkin juice from the lunch table. Why did they drink pumpkin juice? Yes. They went into Gladrag's Wizardware to buy a present for Dobby, where they had fun selecting the most lurid socks they could find, including a pair patterned, with flashing gold and silver stars, and another that screamed loudly when they became too smelly. Then, at 1:30, they made their way up the high street, past Dervish and Bangs. Is it Bangs or Banges? B-A-N-G-E-S. Do you remember them saying it in the movie?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll say Bangs. And out toward the edge of the village. Harry had never been in this direction before.
I could also see Banges, maybe.
Banges, yeah.
I don't know.
The winding lane was leading them out into the wild countryside around Hogsmeade. The cottages were far fewer here, and their gardens were larger. They were walking toward the foot of the mountain in whose shadow Hogsmeade lay. Then they turned a corner and saw a stile at the end of the lane, waiting for them. Its front paws on the topmost bar was a very large, shaggy black dog, which was carrying some newspapers in its mouth and looking very familiar. "Hello, Sirius," said Harry when they had reached him. The black dog sniffed Harry's bag eagerly, wagged its tail once, then turned and began to trot away from them, across the stubby patch of ground that rose to meet the rocky foot of the mountain. Harry, Ron, and Hermione climbed over the stile and followed. Sirius led them to the very foot of the mountain, where the ground was covered with boulders and rocks. It was easy for him with his four paws, but Harry, Ron, and Hermione were soon out of breath. They followed Sirius higher, up onto the mountain itself. For nearly 30 minutes, they climbed a steep, winding road, following Sirius's wagging tail, sweating in the sun, the shoulder straps of Harry's bag cutting into his shoulders. Then at last, Sirius slipped out of sight, and when they reached the place where he'd vanished, they saw a narrow fissure in the rock. They squeezed into it and found themselves in a cool, dimly lit cave. Tethered at the end of it, one end of the rope around a large rock was
Buckbeak
the Hippogriff. Half gray horse, half giant eagle, Buckbeak's fierce orange eye. Oh, God. She doesn't pay attention to this kind of thing. That's a dangling of positive.
Okay.
Anyways, Buckbeak's fierce orange eye flashed at the sight of them. Because Buckbeak's eye wasn't half horse, half eagle. Buckbeak was. Right? It's when people try to get too fancy with their writing, things like that happen. Shame, shame. Anyways, all three of them bowed low to him, and after regarding them imperiously for a moment, Buckbeak bent his scaly front knees and allowed Hermione to rush forward and stroke his feathery neck. Harry, however, was looking at the black dog, which had just turned into his godfather. Sirius was wearing ragged gray robes, the same ones he'd been wearing when he left Azkaban. He hasn't bought some clothes. His black hair was longer than it had been when he had appeared in the fire, and it was untidy and matted once more. He looked very thin. Surely he can conjure up some...
I know, transfigure some fucking food, dude. Shake
well, I don't think you have that transfigure food.
Why?
Because then it gets transfigured back.
It does?
Yeah.
Why?
Apparently, like, eventually things get transfigured back. That's why you can't transfigure things into, like, you can't transfigure, or, like, you can't transfigure water into something. What is it? Oh, you can't transfigure anything into, like, smoke or water or anything like that, because if someone eats it or inhales it, then it will recombine and kill them.
Interesting.
But he could steal food if he wanted. And it wouldn't be a big deal. Like, if he just stole a chicken from the grocery store.
Just keep reading.
Right. "Chicken," he said hoarsely, after removing the old daily profits from his mouth and throwing them down on the cave floor. Harry pulled open his bag and handed over the bundle of chicken legs and bread. Thanks, said Sirius, opening it, grabbing a drumstick, sitting down on the cave floor, and tearing off a large chunk with his teeth. I've been living off rats, mostly. Can't steal too much food from Hogsmeade, I draw attention to myself. I guess he's there, but couldn't he... He grinned up at Harry, but Harry returned the grin only reluctantly. What are you doing here, Sirius? He said. Fulfilling my duty as godfather, said Sirius, gnawing on the chicken bone in a very dog-like way. But he spends a lot of time with them. Don't worry about it. I'm pretending to be a lovable stray. He was still grinning, but seeing the anxiety in Harry's face, said more seriously, I want to be on the spot. Your last letter. Well, let's just say some things are getting fishier. I've been stealing the paper. Okay. I've been stealing the paper every time someone throws one out, and by the looks of things, I'm not the only one getting worried. He nodded at the yellowing daily prophets on the cave floor, and Ron picked them up and unfolded them. Excuse me. Harry, however, continued to stare at Sirius. What if they catch you? What if you're seen? You three and Dumbledore are the only ones around who know I'm an animagus, said Sirius, shrugging, and continuing to devour the chicken leg. Ron nudged Harry and passed him the daily prophets. There were two. The first bore the headline, Mysterious Illness of Bartemius Crouch. And the second, Ministry Witch Still Missing, Minister of Magic Now Personally Involved. Harry scanned the story about Crouch. Phrases jumped out at him. Hasn't been seen in public since November. House appears deserted. St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies and Injuries declined comment. Ministry refuses to confirm rumors of critical illness. They make it sound like he's dying, said Harry slowly. But he can't be that ill if he managed to get up here. My brother is Crouch's personal assistant, Ron informed Sirius. He says Crouch is suffering from overwork. Mind you, he did look ill last time I saw him up close, said Harry, still reading the story. The night my name came out of the goblet. Getting his comeuppance for sacking Winky, isn't he? Said Hermione, an edge to her voice. She was stroking Buckbeak, who was crunching up Sirius's chicken bones. I bet he wishes he hadn't done it now, but he feels the difference now that she's not there to look up after him. You know, Buckbeak's food must be harder to get than, right? Hermione's obsessed with house elves, Ron muttered to Sirius, casting Hermione a dark look. Sirius, however, looked interested. Crouch sacked his house elf? Yeah, the Quidditch World Cup, said Harry, and he launched into the story of the Dark Mark's appearance, and Winky being found with Harry's wand clutched in her hand, and Mr. Crouch's fury. When Harry had finished, Sirius was on his feet again and had started pacing up and down the cave. Let me get this straight. What was my accent for Sirius? We'll just do normal. Okay.
You could just be lower.
Let me get this straight, he said after a while, brandishing a fresh chicken leg. You first saw the elf in the top box. She was saving Crouch's seat, right? Right, said Harry, Ron, and Hermione together. But Crouch didn't turn up for the match? No, said Harry. I think he said he'd been too busy. Sirius paced all around the cave in silence. Then he said, Harry, did you check your pockets for your wand when you'd left the top box? Harry thought hard. No, he said finally. I didn't need to use it before we got into the forest, and then I put my hand in my pocket, and all that was there were my omnioculars. He stared at Sirius. Are you saying that whoever conjured the mark stole my wand out of the top box? It's possible, said Sirius. Winky didn't steal that wand, Hermione insisted. The elf wasn't the only one in that box, said Sirius, his brow furrowed as he continued to pace. Who else was sitting with you? Loads of people, said Harry. Some Bulgarian ministers, Cornelius Fudge, the Malfoys. The Malfoys, said Ron suddenly, so loudly that his voice echoed around the cave, and Buckbeak started nervously. I'll bet it was Lucius Malfoy. Anyone else, said Sirius? No one, said Harry. Yes, there was. There was Little Bagman, Hermione reminded him. Oh, yeah. I don't know anything about Bagman, except that he used to be beater for the Wimborne Wasps, said Sirius, pacing. What's he like? He's okay, said Harry. keeps offering to help me with the Triwizard Tournament. Does he now? Said Sirius, frowning more deeply. I wonder why he'd do that. Says he's taken a liking to me, said Harry. Said Sirius, looking thoughtful. We saw him in the forest just before the Dark Mark appeared, Hermione told Sirius. Remember? She said to Ron and Harry. Yeah, but he didn't stay in the forest, did he? Said Ron. The moment we told him about the ride, he went off to the campsite. How do you know? Hermione shot back. Do you know where he disapparated to? Come off it, said Ron incredulously. Are you saying you reckon Ludo Bagman conjured the Dark Mark? It's more likely he did than Winky, said Hermione stubbornly. Told you, said Ron, looking meaningfully at Sirius. Told you she's obsessed with house elves. But Sirius held up a hand to silence Ron. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody continue?
Yes.
Okay. When the Dark Mark had been conjured, and the elf had been discovered holding Harry's wand, what did Crouch do? Went into the bushes, said Harry, but there wasn't anyone else there. Of course, Sirius muttered, pacing up and down. Of course, he'd want to pin it on anyone but his own elf. And then he sacked her? Yes, said Hermione, in a heated voice. He sacked her just because she hadn't stayed in her tent and let herself get trampled. Hermione, will you give it a rest with the elf? Said Ron. Sirius shook his head and said, She's got the measure of Crouch better than you have, Ron. If you want to know what a man's like, take a good look at how he treats his inferiors, not his equals. He ran a hand over his unshaven face, evidently thinking hard. All these absences of Barty Crouch. He goes to the trouble of making sure his house elf saves him a seat at the Quidditch World Cup, but he doesn't bother to turn up and watch. He works very hard to reinstate the Triwizard Tournament, and then stops coming to that, too. It's not like Crouch. If he's ever taken a day off work because of illness before, I'll eat buckbeak. Do you know Crouch, then? Said Harry. Sirius's face darkened. He suddenly looked as menacing as he had been the night when Harry first met him, the night when Harry still believed him to be a murderer. Oh, I know Crouch all right, he said quietly. He was the one who gave the order for me to be sent to Azkaban without a trial. What? Said Ron and Hermione together. You're kidding, said Harry. No, I'm not, said Sirius, taking another great bite of chicken. Crouch used to be head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement, didn't you know? Harry, Ron, and Hermione shook their heads. He was tipped for the next Minister of Magic, said Sirius. He's a great wizard, Barty Crouch, powerfully magical, and power-hungry. Oh, never a Voldemort supporter, he said, reading the look on Harry's face. No, Barty Crouch was always very outspoken against the dark side, but then a lot of people who were against the dark side. Well, you wouldn't understand, you're too young. That's what my dad said at the World Cup, said Ron, with a trace of irritation in his voice. Try us, why don't you? A grin flashed across Sirius's thin face. All right, I'll try you. He walked up to the cave, back again, and then said, Imagine that Voldemort's powerful now. You don't know who his supporters are. You don't know who's working for him and who isn't. You know he can control people so they do terrible things without being able to stop themselves. You're scared for yourself and your family and friends. Every week, news comes of more deaths, more disappearances, more torturing. The Ministry of Magic's in disarray. They don't know what to do. They're trying to keep everything hidden from the Muggles, but meanwhile, Muggles are dying too. Terror everywhere, panic, confusion. That's how it used to be. Well, times like that bring out the best in some people and the worst in others. Crouch's principles might have been good in the beginning, I wouldn't know. He rose quickly through the ministry, and he started ordering very harsh measures against Voldemort's supporters. The Aurors were given new powers, powers to kill rather than capture, for instance. And I wasn't the only one who was handed straight to the Dementors without trial. Crouch fought violence with violence and authorized the use of the unforgivable curses against suspects. I would say he became ruthless and cruel as many on the dark side. He had his supporters, mind you. Plenty of people thought he was going about things the right way. And there were a lot of witches and wizards clamoring for him to take over as Minister of Magic. When Voldemort disappeared, it seemed like only a matter of time before Crouch got the job. But then something rather unfortunate happened. Sirius smiled grimly. Crouch's own son was caught with a group of Death Eaters who managed to talk their way out of Azkaban. Apparently, they were trying to find Voldemort and return him to power. Crouch's son was caught? Gasped Hermione. Yep, he said, throwing his chicken bone to Buckbeak, flinging himself back down on the ground beside the loaf of bread. And tearing it in half. Nasty little shock for old Barty, I'd imagine. Should have spent a bit more time at home with his family, shouldn't he? Ought to have left the office early once in a while, get to know his son. He began to wolf down large pieces of bread. Was his son a Death Eater, said Harry. No idea, said Sirius, still stuffing down bread. I was in Azkaban myself when he was brought in. This is mostly stuff I found out since I got out. The boy was definitely caught in the company of people I'd bet my life were Death Eaters. But he might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, just like the house elf. Did Crouch try to get his son off? Hermione whispered. Sirius let out a laugh that was much more like a bark. Crouch let his son off? I thought you had the measure of him, Hermione. Anything that threatened to tarnish his reputation had to go. He had dedicated his whole life to becoming Minister of Magic. You saw him dismiss a devoted house elf because she associated him with a dark mark again. Doesn't that tell you what he's like? Crouch's fatherly affection stretched just far enough to give his son a trial, and by all accounts it wasn't much more an excuse to show him how much he hated the boy. Then he sent him straight to Azkaban. He gave his own son to the Dementors, Harry said quietly. That's right, said Sirius, and he didn't look remotely amused now. I saw the Dementors bringing him in. Watched them through the bars in my cell door. Can't have been more than 19. They took him in a cell near mine. He was screaming for his mother by nightfall. He went quiet after a few days, though. They all went quiet in the end, except when they shrieked in their sleep. For a moment, the deadened look in Sirius's eyes became more pronounced than ever, as though shutters had closed behind them. So he's still in Azkaban, Harry said. No, said Sirius dully. No, he's not in there anymore. He died about a year after they brought him in. He died? He wasn't the only one, said Sirius bitterly. Most go mad in there. Plenty stop eating in the end. They lose the will to live. You can always tell when death was coming, because the Dementors could sense it. They got excited. That boy looked pretty sickly when he arrived. Crouch, being an important ministry member, he and his wife were allowed a deathbed visit. That was the last time I saw Barty Crouch, half carrying his wife past my cell. She died herself, apparently, shortly afterward. Grief. Wasted away just like her boy. Crouch never came for his son's body. The Dementors buried him outside the fortress. I watched them do it. Should we stop soon?
Good one.
Finish the chapter. Sirius threw aside the bread he had just lifted to his mouth and instead picked up the flask of pumpkin juice and drained it. So old Crouch lost it all, just when he thought he had it made, he continued, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand. One moment a hero, poised to become the Minister of Magic. Next, his son dead, his wife dead, his family name dishonored. And so I've heard he escaped, since I escaped, a big drop in popularity. Once the boy had died, people started feeling a bit more sympathetic toward the son and started asking how a nice young lad from a good family had gone so badly astray. The conclusion was that his father never cared for him. So Cornelius Fudge got the top job instead. And Crouch was shunted sideways into the Department of International Magical Cooperation. There was a long silence. Harry was thinking of the way Crouch's eyes had bulged as he looked down at his disobedient house elf in the wood at the Quidditch World Cup. This, then, must have been why Crouch had overreacted to Winky being found beneath the dark mark. It had brought back memories of his own son, the old scandal, and his fall from grace in the ministry. Moody says Crouch is obsessed with catching dark wizards, Harry told Sirius. Yeah, I heard it's become a bit of a mania with him, said Sirius, nodding. If you ask me, he still thinks he can bring back the old popularity by catching one more Death Eater. And he sneaked up here to search Snape's office, said Ron, triumphantly looking at Hermione. Yeah, and that doesn't make any sense, said Sirius. Yes, it does, said Ron excitedly, but Sirius shook his head. Listen, if Crouch wants to investigate Snape, why isn't he even coming to judge the tournament? would be an ideal excuse to make regular visits to Hogwarts and keep an eye on him. "So you think Snape could be up to something, then?" asked Harry, but Hermione broke in. "Look, I don't care what you say. Dumbledore trusts Snape." "Oh, give it a rest, Hermione," said Ron impatiently. "I know Dumbledore is brilliant and everything, but that doesn't mean a really clever dark wizard couldn't fool him." "Why did Snape save Harry's life in the first year, then? Why didn't he just let him die?" "I don't know. Maybe he thought Dumbledore would kick him out." "What do you think, Sirius?" said Harry loudly, and Ron and Hermione stopped bickering to listen. "I think they've both got a point," said Sirius, looking thoughtfully at Ron and Hermione. "Ever since I found out Snape was teaching here, I've wondered why Dumbledore hired him. Snape's always been fascinated with the dark arts. He was famous for it at school." "Slimy, oily, greasy-haired kid he was," Sirius added, and Harry and Ron grinned at each other. "Snape knew more curses when he arrived at school than half the kids in the seventh year. He was part of a gang of Slytherins who nearly all turned out to be Death Eaters." Sirius held up fingers and began ticking off names. "Rozier and Wilkes, they were both killed by the Aurors the year before Voldemort fell. The Lestrange, they're a married couple, they're in Azkaban. Avery, from what I heard, he wormed his way out of trouble by saying he acted under the Imperius curse. He's still at large. But as far as I know, Snape was never even accused of being a Death Eater. Not that that means much. Plenty of them were never caught, and Snape's certainly clever and cunning enough to keep himself out of trouble. Snape knows Karkaroff pretty well, but he wants to keep that quiet," said Ron. "Yeah, you should have seen Snape's face when Karkaroff turned up in potions yesterday," Harry said quickly. "Karkaroff wanted to talk to Snape, but he says Snape's been avoiding him. Karkaroff looked really worried. He showed Snape something on his arm, but I couldn't see what it was." "He showed Snape something on his arm," said Sirius, looking frankly bewildered. He ran his fingers distractedly through his filthy hair, then shrugged again. "Well, I've got no idea what that's about, but if Karkaroff's genuinely worried, and he's going to Snape for answers..." Wait, how come Sirius doesn't know? I thought that was common knowledge. Anyways. Sirius stared at the cave wall, then made a grimace of frustration. "There's still the fact that Dumbledore trusts Snape, and I know Dumbledore trusts where a lot of other people wouldn't, but I just can't see him letting Snape teach at Hogwarts if he'd ever worked for Voldemort." "Why are Moody and Crouch so keen to get into Snape's office, then?" said Ron stubbornly. "Well," said Sirius slowly, "I wouldn't put it past Mad-Eye to have searched every single teacher's office when he got to Hogwarts. He takes his defense against the dark arts seriously, Moody. I'm not sure he trusts anyone at all after the things he's seen. It's not surprising. I'll say this for Moody, though. He never killed if he could help it. Always brought people in alive where possible. He was tough, but never descended to the level of the Death Eaters. Crouch, though, he's a different matter. Is he really ill? If he is, why did he make the effort to drag himself up to Snape's office? If he's not, what's he up to? What was he doing at the World Cup that was so important he didn't turn up at the top box? What's he been doing? Well, he shouldn't have been judging the tournament. Well, he should have been judging the tournament." Sirius lapsed into silence, staring at the cave wall. Buckbeak was ferreting over the rocky floor, looking for bones he might have overlooked. Finally, Sirius looked up at Ron. "You say your brother's Crouch's personal assistant? Any chance you could ask him if he's seen Crouch lately?" "I can try," said Ron doubtfully. "Better not make it sound like I reckon Crouch is up to anything dodgy, though. Percy loves Crouch. And you might try and find out whether they've got any leads on Bertha Jorkins while you're at it," said Sirius, gesturing to his second copy of the Daily Prophet. "Bagman told me they hadn't," said Harry. "Yeah, he's quoted in the article there," said Sirius, nodding at the paper, blustering on about how bad Bertha's memory is. "Well, maybe she's changed since I knew her, but the Bertha I knew wasn't forgetful at all, quite the reverse. She was a bit dim, but she had an excellent memory for gossip. It used to get her into a lot of trouble. She never knew when to keep her mouth shut. I can see her being a little bit of a liability at the Ministry of Magic. Maybe that's why Bagman didn't bother to go look for her for so long." Sirius heaved an enormous sigh and rubbed his shadowed eyes. "What's the time?" Harry checked his watch, then remembered it hadn't been working since he spent over an hour in the lake. "It's 3:30, said Hermione. You'd better get back to school, said Sirius, getting to his feet. Now listen. He looked particularly hard at Harry. I don't want you lot sneaking out of school to see me, all right? Just send notes to me here. I still want to hear about anything odd. But you're not to go leaving Hogwarts without permission. It would be an ideal opportunity for someone to attack you. No one's tried to attack me so far, except a dragon and a couple of Grindylows, said Harry. But Sirius scowled at him. I don't care. I'll breathe freely again when this tournament's over, and that's not until June. And don't forget, if you're talking about me amongst yourselves, call me Snuffles, okay? He handed Harry the empty napkin and flask and went to pat Buckbeak goodbye. I'll walk to the edge of the village with you, said Sirius. See if I can scrounge another paper. He transformed into the great black dog before they left the cave, and they walked down the mountainside with him, across the boulder-strewn ground and back to the stile. Here he allowed each of them to pat him on the head before turning and setting off at a run to the outskirts of the village. Harry, Ron, and Hermione made their way back up to Hogsmeade and up towards Hogwarts. "Wonder if Percy knows all that stuff about Crouch," said Ron as they walked up the drive to the castle. "Maybe he doesn't care. Probably just make him admire Crouch even more. If Percy loves rules, he'd just say Crouch was refusing to break them for his own son." "Percy would never throw any of his family to the Dementors," said Hermione severely. "I don't know," said Ron. "If he thought we were standing in the way of his career, Percy's really ambitious, you know." They walked up the stone steps into the entrance hall, where the delicious smells of dinner wafted toward them from the great hall. "Poor old Snuffles," said Ron, breathing deeply. "He must really like you, Harry. Imagine having to live off rats." And that's the end of chapter 27. And next is chapter 28, called The Madness of Mr. Crouch. You hope you like that kitty.
I did.
You're very cute. I love you so much. You're my boo chica.
I know, boo chica.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, Carrie Boo.
Night.
I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Sleep well, kitten.